listening to Wikisleep Podcast, a podcast designed to help you relax and unwind through calm, quiet storytelling. I'm your host, Adrian Sala. Today's story, Phil Hartman, a Canadian-American actor, comedian, screenwriter, and graphic designer who gained fame in the late 1980s as a longtime performer on Saturday Night Live. Phil Hartman was born on September 24, 1948, in Brantford, Ontario, in Canada. He was the fourth of eight children of Doris Marguerite and Rupert Lobig Hartman. His parents were Catholic and raised their children in that faith. As a child, Hartman found attention hard to earn and stated, "I suppose I didn't get what I wanted out of my life, so I started seeking love and attention elsewhere." Hartman was 10 years old when his family moved to the United States. They first lived in Lewiston, Maine, then Meriden, Connecticut, and then on the West Coast. There, he attended Westchester High School and was said to have acted as the class clown. After graduating, he studied art at Santa Monica College, dropping out in 1969 to become a roadie with a rock band. He returned to school in 1972, this time studying graphic arts at California State University, Northridge. He developed and operated his own graphic art business, creating more than 40 album covers for bands including Poco and America, as well as advertising and the logo for Crosby, Stills, and Nash. In the late 1970s, Hartman made his first television appearance on an episode of The Dating Game. He won the date, but the woman never turned up. Working alone as a graphic artist, Hartman frequently amused himself with flights of voice fantasies. At 27, he cited the need for a more social outlet for his talents, so he began to attend evening comedy classes run by the California-based improvisational comedy group, The Groundlings. After several years of training and paying his way by redesigning the group's logo and merchandise, Hartman formally joined the cast of The Groundlings, and by 1979 had become one of the show's stars. At The Groundlings, Hartman befriended Paul Rubens, often collaborating on writing and comic material. Together, they created the character Pee-wee Herman and developed the Pee-wee Herman Show, a live stage performance which also aired on HBO in 1981. Hartman played Captain Carl on the show and returned in the role for the children's Pee-wee's Playhouse show. Rubens and Hartman made cameos in the 1980 film Cheech and Chong's next movie, and Harmon co-wrote the script of the 1985 feature Pee-wee's Big Adventure and had a cameo role as a reporter in the film. Although he had considered quitting acting at the age of 36 due to limited opportunities, the success of Pee-wee's Big Adventure brought new possibilities and changed his mind. He got more small roles in 1986 films, such as Jumpin' Jack Flash and The Three Amigos. He also worked as a voice actor in animated television programs, including The Smurfs, Challenge of the Gobots, The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, and Dennis the Menace. Hartman once said, "As an actor, I felt I couldn't compete. I wasn't as cute as the leading man. I wasn't as brilliant as Robin Williams. The one thing I could do was voices and impersonations and weird characters, and there was really no call for that. Except on Saturday Night Live." Hartman successfully auditioned to join SNL in its 12th season, which began on October 11th. 1986. He had been recommended for the show by fellow groundlings and SNL cast members, John Lovitz and Lorraine Newman, as well as Jumpin' Jack Flash director, Penny Marshall. He told the Los Angeles Times, "I wanted to do SNL because I wanted to get the exposure that would give me box office credibility so I could write movies for myself." In his 8 seasons with the show, Hartman became known for his impressions and performed over 70 different characters. His original characters include Eugene, the anal retentive chef, and unfrozen caveman lawyer. His impressions include Frank Sinatra, Ronald Reagan, Ed McMahon, Barbara Bush, Charlton Heston, Phil Donahue, and Bill Clinton, the latter being his best known impression. He first performed his Clinton impression on an episode of The Tonight Show. Hartman copied the president's post-nasal drip and the slight scratchiness in his voice, as well as his open, less intimidating hand gestures. He wore a wig, dyed his eyebrows brighter, and used makeup to highlight his nose. And when he met Bill Clinton in 1993, he remarked, "I guess I owe you a few apologies," adding later that he sometimes felt a twinge of guilt about his Clinton impression. Clinton showed good humor and sent Hartman a signed photo with the text, saying, "You're not the president, but you play one on TV, and you're okay, mostly." At SNL, Hartman got the nickname Glue. He was very helpful to other cast members, and SNL creator Lorne Michaels explained the name, saying, "He kind of held the show together. He gave to everybody and demanded very little. He was very low maintenance." Michaels also added that Hartman was the least appreciated cast member by commentators outside of the show, and praised his ability to do 5 or 6 parts in a show where you're playing support or you're doing remarkable character work. Hartman won the Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Writing for a Variety, Music, or Comedy Program for SNL in 1989, sharing the award with the show's other writers. He was nominated in the same category in 87 and individually in 1994 for Outstanding Individual Performance in a Variety or Music Program. By 1993, almost every cast member who was there during Hartman's first year on SNL had left the show, including John Lovitz, Jan Hooks, and Dana Carvey. Hartman said he felt like an athlete who's watched all his World Series teammates get traded off into other directions, and it was hard to watch them leave because he sort of felt they were all part of a team that saved the show. As a result, Hartman decided to leave the show himself in 1994. He also said he thought it was time to leave because the show was getting less sophisticated and his style of humor didn't fit with the less intellectual comedy of newer cast members like Adam Sandler. Hartman had originally planned to leave the show in 91, but Michaels convinced him to stay and raise his profile. Jay Leno offered him the role of his sidekick on The Tonight Show, but Hartman opted to stay on at SNL. NBC also persuaded him to stay by promising him his own comedy variety show called The Phil Show. He planned to reinvent the variety form with a hybrid, very fast-paced, high-energy show with sketches, impersonations, pet acts, and performers showcasing their talents. Hartman was to be the show's executive producer and head writer. But before production began, the network decided that variety shows were too unpopular and canceled the series. In a 1996 interview, Hartman said he was glad, as he would have been sweat and blood each week trying to make it work. A year after leaving SNL in 1995, Hartman became one of the stars of the NBC sitcom News Radio, portraying radio news anchor Bill McNeil. He signed up after being attracted by the show's writing and use of an ensemble cast, and joked that he based McNeil on himself, with any ethics or character removed. Although the show was critically acclaimed, it was never a ratings hit, and cancellation was always a regular threat. Hartman publicly lamented NBC's decision to repeatedly move news radio into different time slots, but later regretted his comments, saying, "This is a sitcom, for crying out loud, not brain surgery." He also stated that if the sitcom was canceled, it would just open up other opportunities for him. During this time, Hartman also provided the voices for numerous characters on the Fox animated series, The Simpsons, appearing in 52 episodes. He made his first appearance in the second season episode, Bart Gets Hit by a Car. Although he was originally brought in for a one-time appearance, Hartman enjoyed working on The Simpsons and the staff wrote additional parts for him. He voiced the recurring characters Lionel Hutz and Troy McClure, as well as Duffman one time and other background characters. His favorite part was that of McClure, and he often used this voice to entertain the audience between takes while taping episodes of News Radio. He remarked, "My favorite fans are my Troy McClure fans." Adding, "It's the one thing that I do in my life that's almost an avocation. I do it for the pure love of it." Hartman was popular among the staff of The Simpsons, and showrunners Bill Oakley and Josh Weinstein said they enjoyed his work and used him as much as possible when working on the show. To give him a larger role, they developed the episode, A Fish Called Selma, which focuses on Troy McClure and expands the character's backstory. Simpsons creator Matt Groening said that he took Hartman for granted because he nailed the joke every time and that his voice acting could produce the maximum amount of humor with any line he was given. Hartman's first starring film role came in 1995's House Guest alongside Sinbad. Other films included Greedy, Coneheads, Sergeant Bilko, So I Married an Axe Murderer, CB4, Jingle All the Way, Kiki's Delivery Service, and Small Soldiers. But despite his work in film, he preferred working on television. His other television roles included appearances on episodes of The John Larroquette Show, The Dana Carvey Show, Third Rock from the Sun, and the HBO TV film The Second Civil War as the President of the United States. He made a considerable amount of money from television advertising, earning $300,000 for a series of four commercials for the soft drink, Slice. He also appeared in advertisements for McDonald's as Hugh McAttack and 1-800-COLLECT as Max Jerome. Nancy Cartwright, who voices Bart Simpson's character on The Simpsons, said this of Phil Hartman. "Clean and unassuming, he had such a casual, no-nonsense way about him. It was that quality that we all find so hilarious, his delightful ability to poke fun at himself and life with a tongue-in-cheek attitude comparable to, say, Tim Conway or Mel Brooks or Carol Burnett." In contrast to his real-life personality, which was described as a regular guy and, by all accounts, one of show business's most low-key, decent people, Hartman often played seedy, vain, or unpleasant characters, as well as comedic villains. He described his standard character repertoire as the Jerky Guy and the Weasel Parade, citing Lionel Hutz, Bill McNeil, Troy McClure, and Ted Maltin from Jingle All the Way as examples. He enjoyed playing such roles because he just wanted to be funny, and villains tend to be funny because they're foibles are all there to see. He often played supporting roles rather than the lead part, and said, "Throughout my career, I've never been a huge star, but I've made some steady progress, and that's the way I like it. It's fun coming in as the second or third lead. If the movie or TV show bombs, you aren't to blame." Hartman was considered a utility player on SNL, with a kind of everyman quality, which enabled him to appear in the majority of sketches, often in very distinct roles. Jan Hooks stated of his work on SNL, "Phil never had an ounce of competition. He was a team player. It was a privilege for him, I believe, to play support and do it very well. He was never insulted, no matter how small the role may have been. He was disciplined in his performances, studying the scripts beforehand. Phil knew how to listen, and he knew how to look you in the eye, and he knew the power of being able to lay back and let somebody else be funny and then do the reactions. I think Phil was more of an actor than a comedian." Ken Tucker summarized Hartman's comedic style, saying, "He could momentarily fool audiences into thinking he was the straight man, but then he'd cock an eyebrow and give his voice an ironic lilt that delivered a punchline like a fast slider. You barely saw it coming until you started laughing." Hartman married Gretchen Lewis in 1970. But they divorced in September 1972. He then married real estate agent Lisa Strain in 1982, but their marriage lasted only 3 years. Strain told People magazine that Hartman was reclusive off-screen and would disappear emotionally, be in his own world, and that passivity made her crazy. In 1987, Hartman married former model and aspiring actress Brynn Omdahl, having met her on a blind date the previous year. They had two children, Sean and Bergen Hartman. But the marriage had difficulties. She reportedly was intimidated by his success and was frustrated that she could not find any of her own. She was reported to have been jealous and often verbally and or physically abusive, even sending a letter to his ex-wife, threatening to rip her eyes out if she spoke to him again. Hartman considered retiring to save the marriage, and he tried to get Omdahl acting roles, but she became progressively more reliant on narcotics and alcohol, entering rehab several times. On multiple occasions, he had to remove their children from the house to stay with friends or family because of her drug and alcohol-fueled outbursts. Because of his close friendship with Ethanol associate Jan Hooks, Amdahl joked on occasion that Hooks and Hartman were married on some other level. She had written threatening letters to Hooks, warning her not to get close to her husband, but they appeared to have never been sent, only being discovered in her belongings following her death. Stephen Root, Hartman's news radio co-star, said that few people knew the real Phil Hartman, and he was one of those people who never seemed to come out of character. But he nevertheless gave the impression of a family man who cared deeply for his children. In his spare time, Hartman enjoyed driving, flying, sailing, marksmanship, and playing the guitar. On May 27th, 1998, Bryn Amdahl visited the Italian restaurant Buca di Beppo in Encino, California, with producer and writer Christine Zander, who said she was in a good frame of mind. But after returning home, Amdahl had a heated argument with Hartman, after which he went to bed. Sometime before 3 a.m., Amdahl entered their room and shot Hartman once between the eyes, once in the throat, and once in the upper chest with a Charter Arms 38 caliber handgun as he slept. She was taking Zoloft and had been drinking alcohol and had recently used cocaine. Amdahl then drove to the home of her friend Ron Douglas and confessed to the killing, but initially he did not believe her. The pair drove back to the house in separate cars, and she called another friend and confessed a second time. Upon seeing Hartman's body, Douglas called 911 at 6:20 a.m. Police arrived and escorted Douglas and the Hartmans' two children from their premises, by which time Amdahl had locked herself in the bedroom. Shortly afterward, she took her own life. Los Angeles police stated that Hartman's death was caused by domestic discord between the couple. Amdahl's sister Catherine and brother-in-law Mike Wright raised the two Hartman children. And Hartman's will stipulated that each child would inherit money over several years after turning 25. Phil Hartman was just 49 years old when he died.